First reading is from the Gospel of John, John 3, verses 16 to 18. And you can find that on Pew Bibles, page 1066. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the word of the Lord.
And the second reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, beginning at verse 24, and that can be found on page 979 in the Pew Bibles, if you're following there. Matthew 13, verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" This too is the word of the Lord. And let's pray for Steve as he comes to bring us God's words this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Steve. We pray that you will pour out your spirit upon him now. Fill him afresh. Bring the words that you have given him to life in our hearts, that we may take them and work within them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Well, back along, when I first saw the 52 questions in the New City Catechism, there were a few questions there that I hoped to avoid. And the question about death and hell wouldn't be my first choice to give a talk. However, last week, the question and answer looked at predestination, and it makes today's study look like a walk in the park. But if you missed last week's talk that Lee gave, please look it up on the internet. It's there. Predestination's good stuff. But today's question, what happens after death to those not united to Christ by faith? Jesus often spoke about hell and death. He often spoke about his own death. And the people that were closest to him often misunderstood what he was saying. They sort of had that selective hearing thing where you only hear the good news and try and avoid the bad stuff. That's me anyway. And today's question might be short and snappy, but the set answer in our notes needs a bit of thinking about. And it'd be good to put the question and the answer in our minds and then look at one of the conversations that Jesus had concerning the whole matter. So the question, we have the question and the answer before us. The question again, what happens after death to those not united to Christ by faith? And the answer, at the day of judgment, they will receive the fearful but just sentence of condemnation pronounced against them. They will be cast out from the favourable presence of God into hell to be justly and grievously punished forever. Not so snappy. And the subject of hell and all that is very much part of our language and our culture. We have works of art depicting what hell, what artists think hell looks like. There are umpteen song lyrics that use the word and just try and describe what life for them is like. We have the aftermath of these terrible disasters and these awful wars, which we say are like hell. And there are four places that I know of called Hell's Gate. I've actually been to one of them. I tried to find whether there was a church in Hell's Gate. That would have been quite an interesting concept, but there we go. And as if by magic, one of the books in the top 10 book reviews of last month is a book called Parenting Hell by Rob Beckett and Josh Widdicombe. What that's about, I couldn't possibly say. We often refer to as the other place. It's often in the Bible as the other place. And we often have people that talk and say, he's going to hell, she's going to hell. And some people are certain about who's going to hell and who isn't. Well, I don't know about you, but the only person that I'm sure will not be going to heaven is the person who designed that awful road junction at Canford Bottom. Honestly, I cannot work it out. Particularly coming from the Ham Preston side, where do you go? And some well-meaning people believe that there isn't a hell at all. Their thinking would be, how can a loving Father God allow it? And on the face of it, hell seems inconsistent with teaching about God's mercy and love and forgiveness. And our study notes tell me that Jesus spoke about hell more than all the other Bible writers put together. So that's more than Jeremiah and Isaiah, and certainly more than Paul. Jesus spoke about fires burning, about darkness and misery, a place without any of the good things that God gives us. Jesus' warnings about hell are found in all four Gospels. He doesn't dwell on it, but he doesn't shy away. Just now we looked at a reading from Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 is full of parables. Parables, story of the meaning, all there. It's a good chapter to look through. And then we have the parable of the weeds in the middle of that chapter, the parable of the tares in the old versions. And Jesus, what was happening was Jesus was speaking to a large crowd, including his disciples. And of all the parables that Jesus told that day, the parable of the weeds seemed to strike the right note with the disciples. It's as if they were ready to hear it. And they waited until the crowd had gone. Then behind closed doors, they asked Jesus to explain what the parable was saying, rather to explain what he was saying through the parable. And rather than make up an explanation, I'll read what Jesus said. And it's in verse 37, if you have your Bibles with you. And what Jesus did was a real helpful thing. He gave definitions before he gave an answer. There are six definitions that he gives, and then he explains what he was saying. I often wish that some Christian books had definitions at the beginning so we can see what those big words mean that we often use. So here we go, verse 37. The field is the world. The good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one. The enemy who sow them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Then he begins. As the weeds are pulled up and burned, I'll read that again. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will be thrown into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I think it was J. John who once said, there will be gnashing of teeth even if you no longer have your own teeth. Such a real event that it was. And Jesus was pointing towards despair and anguish, and he spoke with honesty and clarity. There was no mollycoddling or avoiding the issue. Jesus, in that little reading, Jesus says the word will 5 times. It's certain, it will happen, it's certain to happen, it's unavoidable. Action will be taken. I like it when Jesus is unambiguous. It makes me sit up straight. So what about us? What can we be sure about? God loves us beyond measure. He sees his creation as good. But he doesn't love everything. He hates bad things, harmful things. The good news is that God has done something to deal with bad things. Now, we all have a sense of justice. It's ingrained from our childhood when that's not fair is an expression that we often use. And the thinking of that's not fair stays with us. We all have a sense of right and wrong, justice. We can see right from wrong, usually. People who mistreat other people are not part of God's perfect kingdom. They're only fit for hell. We can all name people in world history who were infamously bad. We can think of people today who we would say are infamously bad. And we don't have a problem with them being punished. The detail of the punishment isn't needed. We just need to know that they will be punished. That's in our thinking, maybe not in how we put it into words. And our problem is that none of us are perfect. Tell me if I'm wrong, but we all get it wrong sometimes. And later on in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells us that people who showed him love would be rewarded, and people who didn't show any love to him would be cast out. It's Matthew chapter 25. When you're home, have a look through it. Another chapter that's full of parables. What Jesus was saying was that by ignoring the needs of other people, we are ignoring the Son of Man, Jesus himself. And that leads to separation. So even when our thinking is wrong, we can still be separated from the person that loves us the most. We don't have to do things too bad. Those that show love and those that didn't show love would be separated like sheep and goats. I don't know if those of you who watch Country File, you know I'm a big fan of Country File. 2 weeks ago, they did a little bit of the old One Man and His Dog. It used to be a big thing. It was just like a clip 2 weeks ago. And the dog did a thing called The Shed. Anyone see that? Yeah, good. Another fan of Country File. What the dog did, he charged through the sheep and separated them into two groups. It's very clever. I don't know how the dog could do it. But there was no going back. The sheep just separated. And it was at the time when I was thinking about this talk. I thought, oh, that's good. I'll use that. If I was clever, I'd put it up on the screen, but I'm not. Separated like sheep and goats. I can think of many times in my life when it's been me first, when it's been all about me. And I've often ignored the needs of other people because my needs need a look at. I've often got it wrong. I've often hurt people who I love the most. And there are many times for all of us when we deserve to have that really looked at and we deserve to be punished. Jesus gives us clear warning about hell. He offers us a way out. And I'm trying hard not to use big Christian words to explain what Jesus does because they're often not helpful. And it's more the other way. It is quite clear what it is Jesus wants us to do. Jesus shows us that hell can be avoided. We can be saved from it. And Jesus doesn't do this by leaving bad things unpunished. He does it by taking our place. At his moment of death, Jesus took the punishment that we deserve onto himself. He experienced hell so that we don't have to. He even suffered complete isolation from his Father for the first time, the first and only time. And whatever we think may or may not happen in hell, one thing that is certain is that it's all about isolation, a complete absence of God. Jesus' love for us is unmeasurable. His once-for-all sacrifice was taken for you and me. I'm going to finish by just reading the last paragraph of our study notes. It says this: the issue is not how a loving God would allow there to be a hell. The issue is if Jesus would experience hell for me, then he must be a loving God. It's not why would God allow hell, it's why would God experience hell for me. And yet he did. Amen.